This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we are less than 2 weeks from NFL free agency combine going on, and could the Eagles survive next season without re-signing Zach Bond? We'll get back to your phone calls. 215-592-9494. As we welcome in Rhea Hughes. Rhea, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
And Rhea's sit-in is brought to you by the Mattress Warehouse with exclusive Bed Match technology to find your perfect mattress.
Look at that. I'm getting sponsored
now. I
know. Look at that.
That's big time stuff.
Look at God.
All right, Rhea, you're sponsored. Maybe we can find a sponsor for the Eagles to re-sign Zach Baum, because I feel like it is imperative. And I have Hugh Douglas over here telling me they could survive without him after he was first team all pro.
I mean, I think they have contingency plans. I think they can.
Rhea, what do you think?
Hugh Douglas, where were you in 2003?
03? I was in Jacksonville.
You were in Jacksonville. You know where I was in 2003?
Where's that?
I was sitting in Lincoln Financial Field when this happened.
First and goal, Carolina from the one of Philly. Pitch to Foster, trying to turn the far side. Gets over Hoover. Bounces off a tackle. Still keeps the legs turning. And dives towards the end zone. Touchdown! Oh, my goodness! Deshaun Foster, on a play that took a minute and a half, was able to get into the end zone as he kept stretching it outside, bouncing off.
It might have taken a minute and a half, but it was symbolic of an entire season. As eagle after eagle fell away from Deshaun Foster, so did any remaining doubts about the Carolina Panthers.
So, Hugh Douglas, I was there as Mark Cimino got run over not once, but twice by Deshaun Watson at the goal line. Why, you were sunning yourself in sunny Jacksonville, okay?
Is that the NFC Championship game?
Yes, it was the NFC Championship game.
How about this? That was when I started to get into the media thing, and they asked me, NFL Network, because they were brand new. They said, hey, you want to do the NFC Championship game against the Eagles and the Carolina Panthers? I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'd have been sick. I'd have been sick if they had went. I'd have been sick.
Does she do anything for us?
So don't tell me.
No,
that we'll be fine.
No.
I am not going back to Mark Cimino, to Nate Gary, to Kiko Alonso. The only thing he did right was when they traded him, eventually wound up with Carson Wentz. I'm not going back.
I'm not doing it. I understand.
I don't know if you do. Before your rebuttal, and I hate to do it to him, but my first thought was like, my memory was the linebacker play was really bad that day, right?
Yeah.
So I went back and I pulled up the starting lineup. And then this is what the Eagles threw out there. Those three starting linebackers that day. It was Nate Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
It was Mark Cimino. Yep. And it was Ike Reese was the other one.
Oh,
no. See what happens when you don't have star linebackers, Hugh?
First of all, I understand that what everybody's talking about, they have some emotional tie to the linebacker play. Or the lack of.
I came with evidence.
Yes,
I came
you
with
did.
Receipts.
Yes, you did.
That was receipt then. But the Deshaun Foster
But my thing is this. I think that, and this is the reason why I feel the way that I do. I think we have a tremendous coaching staff. I think that's evident when you look at the way that they played as a cohesive unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that Zach Bond has benefited tremendously from that opportunity, like I said, in personnel. I'm not taking anything away from what he accomplished on his own merit. But at the end of the day, like I said, Rhea, I feel like the Eagles have allowed him to get to this position, knowing that there's a strong possibility by the way that he played that there's going to be some other opportunity that might grant him to get more money. So with that being said, I feel like this coaching staff is strong enough and they're smart enough that with the young guys that they have now, the young talent that they have on this team now, that they could bring somebody in that probably can play.
Not at that. I mean, because you don't know when N'Kobe Dean's coming back.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay? And if he'll stay healthy when he comes back. Yeah, it's unfortunately his story.
It's a shame because he's been so good. Oren Burks performed very well in the playoffs. I mean,
under the circumstances, yes.
But Zach Baum was a different, and I thought Kyle made the best point. Zach Baum was as big a difference maker on defense as Saquon was on offense.
I mean, they both were all pros, first team.
I mean, he finished in the running for defensive player of the year.
I hear you, Rhea, but I look at it like he benefited tremendously from the fact that this team, they didn't have to do a whole lot of stunting and blitzing. His job was easier because of the way that the front line played. We didn't have to blitz at all because we got pressure with the front four. And so that allowed those guys on the back end just to read routes and play coverage. Not saying that that's easy to do because I can't do it.
No, we've seen, listen, I mean, what's his name? Who was here? Alex Singleton, nice kid, couldn't cover anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
He's not just competent, he's very good.
Very, very smart.
And works in this well. And I know Fangio probably seems like he's a leader. That's
very smart
huge.
Kid. And yeah. I think, but and another thing, when I look at this defense, and the thing that really jumps out to me is that they've amassed some really, really smart guys on that side of the ball for cheap.
Yeah.
And when I come from the position I'm coming from, I'm thinking, okay, they've already let you know that they're not going to invest. They don't want to invest a whole lot of money financially on the defensive side of the ball. So that's why I look at it the way I would love him to be here. Let me say that first because I don't want anybody to think I don't.
Well, the whole number 53 thing.
I think there's a little.
My part. Rhea, don't buy into that.
I'm buying a Zach Bond jersey. I'm going to wear it in here when I come in on Thursdays.
You're not 53 anymore. But deep down it hurts. And that's why you're trying to push Bond out of town.
I can't believe y'all brought Rhea down to the depths with y'all. I can't believe that.
Well, maybe you should reconsider now.
I am clear. I try to be the logical voice of reason on this station.
Yeah, but
just don't matter.
Hold on, you could be clear and concise and wrong. I try to do that. I mean,
this is true.
A lot of people say I do that every day.
And it's really hard to take you serious with a rag on your head.
Well, it's because Rhea, I got greasy ears, and it's like I don't want my.
What?
I put lotion on my face, and it's like my ears. I don't like my headphones
lotion
to be all
on
greasy.
Ears?
How do your ears get greasy?
Yeah, because I put lotion on my ears.
He lotions his ears.
That's a part of my face, ain't it?
Are you sweating out of your ears?
No, but it's just like the lotion is like greasy
and
stuff.
You consider your ears part of your face?
Yes. They're not a part. Your
part
ears aren't a part
head.
Of your face?
They're part of your head.
No, I don't think so.
Well,
the
mean,
mouth
they're,
and
they're
nose and eyes.
You got an ear on your face. We got problems.
I can't
All right, put the poll up.
Right
are your
now.
Ears part of your face?
Yes.
Let's see what people think on this. I mean, Rhea, to your point, and it feels like with the Eagles, it's hit or miss at linebacker. Like, if you told me Bond left and they replaced him and they had a good one, I'd say, all right, let's think through that. But we saw 2 years ago, T.J. Edwards and Kaiser White left, and then we went through the next season.
And
where
T.J. was good. I didn't think he was great. I was okay with letting him walk, but then what they replaced him with was
that's it. So next year, as we walk into the season, you said it, we don't know about N'Kobe. And look, Jeremiah Trotter might be ready, but that still leaves another spot. And who knows? And Oren Burks is a free agent, too. I don't want to have next year have a thing where it's like,
all new,
and then they're getting torched in September, and it's like, oh.
No, I get that. And I know we all have PTSD about the linebacker spot.
Yes.
I
For 20-something years, we have brought
it.
The audio.
I get it, and I
Outside
understand.
Outside of Ike Reese. Ike Reese slander.
I understand.
I felt bad about
that's
that,
where
but
the
he did
ire
start
comes from. I understand that, but I just feel like we have a competent coaching staff, and they do something that a lot of coaches in this NFL – You beat me. Exactly, Rhea. That's why I feel so strongly about this. The one thing, and it's funny because we have two examples, immediate examples of one team that wasn't coached and one team that has been coached up to the extreme that they went from the worst to the first.
It's still amazing
in one season.
To me.
And it's another thing. I am fascinated. I can't explain to you enough how hard it is for this defense or any defense to grasp everything that you're asking them to grasp in 6 months and do it
So why would you go back to, you know, Bond is coachable?
Yes, I do.
If the next guy you get in there might not be coachable.
But I look at it like this. I feel like you have a group of guys in there now that were under that umbrella that are coachable, like Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Now, I know he's younger.
We know why he's coachable.
Yeah, well, his pop, because his pops is. Yeah, and so that's why I look at it more so as if he goes, I mean, I understand why people be upset, but there's going to be somebody
on Novacare.
Yeah, but there'll be somebody else in there that can step into that opportunity.
Another guy.
Yeah, but not play
another guy.
To play at that level, all pro.
All pro. That was
defensive player.
That was eye opening. But yes. I feel like you could still get some really good play at that position by one of those
Andy
other guys.
Andy Reid has infected your brain.
No, why does it have to be like that?
We don't need linebackers. They're not important.
No, I did not say that. I just look. I'm reading the tea leaves. To be totally honest.
Well, I think Milton's gone and Josh Schwett's gone.
Yeah,
and so I agree.
They didn't sign anybody.
That was surprising.
And we know for a fact that when the Eagles identify somebody
they
don't want to get in the free agency, I'm still on that thing, and I know it's going to rub people the wrong way. Defense is a luxury, not a necessity.
No, here we go.
But, Rhea, listen, hear me out before y'all jump all over me.
People are done hearing this out.
Listen to what I'm saying. They are allowing three key components to their defense to leave.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? That they feel like their assets, the way they allocated their assets, are on the offensive side of the ball. And they're talking about allocating even more assets to that offensive side of the ball. They're looking at it, and they're probably thinking that, you know, we can go get some younger guys play defense.
I mean, they've got a couple young guys here that they think are going to take the next step.
That's it. It's not.
But I don't want that next step at linebacker. I've done that game too many times.
And it turns out bad. We've seen it.
See, Rhea understands where I come from, but see, it's the fan. See, I'm fighting the fandom, the fan in Rhea.
You're fighting history.
Yes, that's what that is.
Well, and she made a really good point.
See, I'm logical.
You didn't suffer like Rhea did. You were sunning yourself down in Jacksonville. So while you stole money from the Jaguars.
I get it. And I hear you from that standpoint. But I look at the way that the Eagles do business.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they're hinting, or Howie went in the press conference and said, hey, fans got to stay with us. It's going to look different.
Let me explain something to Howie. I don't care that you won a Super Bowl.
We want another one.
If you let every one of these guys go, people are going to have a problem.
That patience won't last very long.
I get that.
215-592-9494. Right, before we go back to the phones, I just thought about this. You, Hugh, I think you owe an apology to Rhea.
What I do?
Well, you opened the show today by, in a way, diminishing Bond by saying he benefits from the players in front of him, right? Well, if you never left for Jacksonville, you're on the field against Carolina, and maybe Rhea's not as upset all these years later.
Probably would have made that play, though.
Well,
would have gotten run over, too?
No, I wouldn't have gotten ran over, but I probably wouldn't have been in a position to make
that play. All right, I guess that's fair. All right, let's go to Troy in Philly. What's up, Troy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey,
what's up, Troy?
I appreciate you guys. You know what? I listen to the show every day, and at the end of the day, I'm glad that we have John Ritchie, Hugh, and Ike in there. Because we all have our opinion, but these guys play the game, and they see it from the inside perspective. And the bottom line is, hey, look, Zach is a good player, okay? But he's a better player because he's playing in the scheme that the Eagles put him in.
But I will say this, Troy. I understand better where Rhea's coming from because you don't get the text that I get on Sunday. So I, like, when it comes to Rhea's position, I understand because – every Sunday.
Yes.
Every Sunday.
Except one game.
Except for one game.
What game was that?
I think it was the Super Bowl.
It was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to complain about.
But every game. I always try to, you know, bring a little logic, but at the same time, I respect the fandom because it runs deep. And, you know, you have to look at it from that perspective as well. Nobody wants to deal with that. Nobody wants to live through that. I get that.
And, Troy, I think it's a good thing to bring out. I mean, I appreciate the knowledge that Hugh and Ike and John bring to the station, and we learn from them. But Hugh's wrong on this.
Joe and Kyle ain't trying to hear it today.
No.
No, I know. And I'm not either. Because you know what? Because we can do, like I said, Zach is that guy. But you know what? Our scheme, our coaches, like you said, put him in a position. And we got smart players behind him. But this is that one time when he was mic'd up when a boy.
You talking about Coop? When he asked him, he said, "How did you read that or whatever?" Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Smart guys, man. Yeah. Like they watch a lot of film.
Smart scheme. So it's almost like you could put somebody in there based on how we do our scouting, how we judge talent. It's almost like the coaches can go ahead and put a player in there, like a Zach, who was never a middle back linebacker. And go ahead, and we could go ahead and still make another run.
Well, it could, but it also, they could miss. I mean, they hit on Zach. Again, I think we forget now, Troy, it's a good phone call, and we appreciate you. They missed on Devin White. Like, last
he
year.
He never played, right?
No, so, is with Fangio. They swung and missed on a linebacker, so they could absolutely swing and miss on a linebacker. Again, I hope they don't have to. Hope Bond comes back. All right, Rhea, we need to hit you with a couple of other things here. Okay. First, let's play this and get your reaction, because yesterday, out of nowhere, it sounded like it seems like an altruistic move, a move to save the Sixers season. Let's listen to Paul George as he talks about his priorities now that the Sixers are dead and buried this season.
Fellas, it's no secret. This season is up to this point, man. It hasn't been what we envisioned. I know my goal when I first signed with Philadelphia was to bring a championship to these amazing fans here. I still remain positive about that, and that is still the case and where I'm coming from. With that being said, though, I want to let the Podcast P family know that after today's episode with Dwight, I plan to take a break from the pod just to focus on getting my body right, getting mentally right, and, you know, help this squad make a push towards our goal to finish the season out, give ourselves a chance to be in contention to compete for a championship.
Got some heat from that is we need to do better post that with the comments he made the other day. He got some heat from that.
Well, they're 20-38 and they've lost 9 in a row. So, but now Paul's going to lock in.
Now he's locked in.
Now.
I mean, it could have been helpful. I mean, it's not like you gave up pizza, dude.
You, I mean, get my body right. Less podcasting.
That would be a tragedy for me. Okay. But I mean, you, I don't care if you're sitting in front of a microphone for an hour.
Well, it also gives off, and I don't know if he meant it this way, it gives off the impression that he wasn't giving his all to the Sixers.
Yeah, which it's bizarre.
Why would you tell us that, even if it is true?
Darius Slay did a podcast all year.
They won the Super Bowl.
It was fine.
His signing, for podcast aside, has been a disaster that we haven't talked about because the Embiid stuff has taken up the oxygen. Yeah. But he looks nothing like that kind of player they thought they were getting, and he's here for 3 more years at like $50-something million a year.
It's what's gone on with them. Every day, I think I said in one of my updates this morning, every day seems more ridiculous than the previous one.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I keep going back to Embiid, how he passed a physical to sign that extension.
I want to talk to that doctor.
Oh,
that
I want an investigation.
Yeah, that was wild.
I mean, it's insane. But yeah, Paul George, it's like, dude. Yeah, okay, whatever.
I you know, so they've lost 9 in a row now since Daryl Morey said if you squint hard enough, you could see a championship step.
Really, really hard.
It would be hilarious if they lost out after he said that. Like, imagine
lost every game since he said it, right?
I mean, maybe the rest of the season. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many more they're going to win.
Well,
this
who's in town for a nationally televised game on Saturday?
Is that Golden State?
That would be the Golden State Warriors.
And Jimmy Butler? I'm sure he'll take mercy on the Sixers.
Oh,
yeah, that'll work out quite well. All right, let's take a phone call, and then we have to ask Rhea about the tragedy that went on today here in the studio. Let's grab Jake and Delco to put you in his place. What's up, Jake?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Jake.
Man, I normally ride with you, but on this one, no way, man. No. I think it would be a tragedy if we lost Zach Bond.
So you listening to Jake here?
I'm listening. Now, give me your reasoning.
Hugh, and you know how much I ride with you, man.
Okay, I respect that. Give us your reasoning.
Jake's seeing the light here. Then maybe he's got to go off on the opposite track here. Yeah. Jake, what are you thinking on Bond?
Well, I just think that it is true that he meant as much to the defense as Saquon meant to the offense. I would say it's not quite entirely true, maybe 90%. But the first game this year, I remember, they didn't really start to get really great till after the bye. But I remember that first game against Green Bay, the first drive when the defense was on the field, I noticed something was different. The way they swarmed to the ball, the way they didn't do the slap and tickle, like it was just different. And And I really think that Zach Bond's spearheaded
that. Thursday.
He was huge in that game. We all went, whoa.
Yes. So
did he have like 10 tackles or something in the game?
15 and two. I think he got the sack on Love when Love hurt his knee at the end. And that, I remember saying like, wow. But it was tough just to like, he's going to do that every week. But
they were like, oh, he's not going to do that every week.
And then he kept doing it. Yeah, all the way to like 150 tackles. Jake, you're right. He made the impression from week one and it never stopped. He caused a turnover in every playoff game. I mean, how do you let that guy go?
The master of the peanut punch, man.
Yes.
The master of the peanut punch.
The peanut punch.
No, I'm saying Peanut Tillman is the master of the peanut punch.
Well, he took the peanut punch.
You can step aside.
Yeah. It's been illegal. Peanut's
an FBI agent now, by the way.
Is he still?
I think
that's
so.
Never mind.
Oh.
That's a good segue to Podcast
P. A lot
P.
has changed.
Oh.
What do you think on Podcast P? Because I'm about done with him.
Absolutely tone deaf and out of touch. It's incredible.
Well, he's a Sixer. I mean, he's now officially a Sixer.
Mind-blowing.
No, the one that got me is that you made an announcement to tell everybody.
Yeah.
That's why I said what I said this morning. Just do it. Nobody cares.
No.
Yeah.
Just go play basketball.
Jay, good phone call. We had a caller a couple days ago, Rhea, that called him by accident George Paul. But I think it's perfect because we don't he's not good enough that we know his name the correct way.
I almost did it in an update this morning.
Yeah, I mean, he has two first names. It happens. All right.
Yes.
Rhea, we need to get your take on this. Okay. You may have noticed, you probably did. Maybe you didn't know exactly what was going on because, you know, during your show, you get to be in your own little studio.
My news studio. Yes. Newsroom.
So now you're in this studio with us, and we got in here today, and it smelled a little different than normal. So we asked John. It stunk when we got in here at 10. So we asked John, what was that? And John told us that Joe this morning brought shrimp in and heated it up and ate it during the morning show.
No.
Shrimp.
No, you can't heat up seafood. Number one, you can't heat up seafood in a company microwave.
I did that before.
It will smell for days.
Yes, that's bad. That's bad.
Because it just gets, it's ensconced in there. It doesn't come out, the smell.
Who heats up shrimp and eats it for breakfast?
That was my take. If he was here alone at night, maybe I'd have a little grace. Yeah. You're doing the morning show and we're eating shrimp.
I'm a pig.
I would have freaked out if I was in here.
Well, I mean, there was a little chippy this morning on the morning show. Maybe John was just tired of the odor.
Picked up on that.
I smelled it when I walked in. I went to the meeting, and I was like, guys, somebody committed a war crime.
It was terrible.
It's a war crime.
Wow.
It was disgusting.
That's a violation, as they say. I mean, heat up pasta.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's neutral.
The shrimp in the microwave is rule number one, man.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know this, but I'm guessing because it smells so bad in here, I think he ate it in here.
Oh, he always eats his breakfast in here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was bad business. No.
I mean, have a yogurt and a cheese stick.
Yeah, that's
none of which smell.
Right. If you're going to bring food in here, you have to consider there's other people.
He wasn't worried about that.
Well, HR might have to hear about this.
Shrimp before 10 a.m. is
ridiculous.
It's a problem itself.
He wonders why he has digestive problems.
I mean, that's
just nasty.
I understand that sleep patterns are different when you do a morning show, but shrimp before 10 a.m.
No, it's kind of nasty.
No, we got to stop all that. That's out. All right, I'm glad we addressed this because that was ridiculous. All right, Rhea, thank you for coming in here today and trying to help put Hugh in his place because this guy.
I appreciate it.
And I'm glad you see it, too. The number 53 thing, it's weighing on him. He knows we do the pregame shows next year. The 53s won't be H. Douglas anymore.
Oh, no.
They will be Bond.
So childish.
But it's rooted in reality. That's why it hits. All right. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on Zach Bond next. Can the Eagles survive as a championship contender next year without him? I say no. He was basically greasing the skids for his exit here. This is ridiculous. Plus, when we come back, another push. This one from a big name from Myles Garrett. You're going to want to hear this. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Where we debate the important things on the Midday Show. Number one, Zach Bond. Can the Eagles survive without him? I say no. They need him to be a Super Bowl team next year. And of course, are your ears a part of your face? Hugh Douglas thinks they are. I do not. And apparently, when Kyle put the poll up, it's an early split.
I'm shocked.
People think your ears are a part of your face?
Well, I mean, because when I said it, I mean, my head's a part of my face.
No,
I mean,
your face is a part of your head. Yeah,
but I mean, backwards. It's all connected. But it's like, you know, they're a part of my face. Well, it's part of my face.
It's kind of like how a square is a rectangle, or a rectangle is not a square.
Yeah. You think about
way
like
deeper than I wanted to
or how about this?
It's two like basic shapes.
Well, I hear what you're saying.
When you wake up or like you go wash your face, right? Mm-hmm. Do you wash your ears? No, I like
this. Oh, yeah, Hughes. Hughes got greasy ears.
Yes. No, but
when I wash my face, I wash my ears. I wash behind my ears. I wash in my ears.
Well, I
wash the little crevices in my ears. So, yes.
Well, I feel like you wash your face and your ears.
I wash my whole head. Like,
no, but I don't mean in the shower. Like, if you go to like the sink, just wash your face. Just throw some water on your face.
I wash my ears.
You throwing water in your ears?
Yes.
No, I don't know about this.
Seriously?
Yeah. Why are you
lotion on your ears? No. Why do you think I wear
the towel? I don't put lotion anywhere. Look at
I put lotion on my ears. I put lotion in my ears. I put it because it's a part of my face. So that's why I wear the towel, because my ears are still kind of greasy.
This is how this started, because Hugh's ears are greasy today, and we didn't understand how we got
there.
Because and they make my headphones greasy, and I don't like the greasy headphones.
Sure.
I put the towel on it. That's why I would always wear a hat, because I don't like the greasy headphones.
All right, we'll see where the people come down on all this. 215-592-9494.
People are surprisingly passionate about this in the comments.
I'm sure.
Some of them are like,
they're angry.
Yeah. And it's weird.
And all of us, just you.
Like, if you're mad, like, can I ask a question? Because I know they're listening. If you're so mad about what we're talking about, why are you commenting?
Well, people are different, as you always say.
It's the same people that announced that they're not listening anymore.
They're not listening, but you're listening.
Well, my favorite are the ones that's like, well, it looks like it's a dead time in sports radio. I'm like,
so
guys,
why are you listening?
Relax, we put up a poll.
Yeah. That's it.
Also, we didn't plan this. Hugh just told us he had greasy ears.
Do you know some of this stuff just is happenstance? It's not like somebody just said it and said, hey, you know what? Let's put up a poll today and ask about ears.
It's like you talking about shark cartilage.
It's just like, it's organic, man. Yeah. Relax. You know what y'all need to do? Like, and I'm going to say this with all due respect. You need to either get a girlfriend or a boyfriend to take some of that free time that you have off and quit commenting if you feel in some kind of way. Because if you had either or, you wouldn't be so angry or pent up.
Get your
like
priorities right and figure out if you're going to put lotion on yours. All right, 215-592-9494. Priorities for the Eagles this offseason could include Myles Garrett. Listen to this take. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, he weighed in on the idea of Myles Garrett. And listen to this comp for Garrett as the Eagles potentially go pursue him.
Let me tell you something. The thought of getting Myles Garrett.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know what you got to give up to get a Myles Garrett. But the thought of a Jalen Carter and a Myles Garrett on a defensive line, it's just scary for the NFL. Reminds me of a Reggie White and a Jerome Brown back in the day. We had an offensive lineman when we were getting ready to play Reggie White and Jerome Brown. The dude came over and just said, I'm out. They said, what's wrong with you? He said, I'm hurt somewhere in here. All I know is I'm not playing. Because that guy, they intimidated him so much. This would be scary for the league, the thought of them getting Myles Garrett.
I mean, Hugh, the comp he makes is not outrageous, right? We've heard, I think it was Dick Vermeil, we've heard people compare, and you've
that
done
was
it.
My comp.
Yep.
Because that's what it kind of feels like.
Jerome Brown
to
Jalen.
Those guys were a problem.
And we know that Myles is the preeminent pass rusher of this generation, the way, you know, I don't think he's as great as Reggie, but Reggie was in his generation, too. If they pulled it off, and we did talk yesterday about is it worth it, the picks and all that, they would be a remarkable dominant duo.
They would be
duo.
A formidable duo. You know, it would be hard to block both of those guys, because it's already hard to block Jalen Carter. But him and Myles Garrett, it's almost like you better throw the ball quick. You better try to run. You better do something, because you're not going to have the time that you think you're going to have.
Yeah, and then just the idea, like, would you, you know, could you put them on opposite sides? So you line them up next to each other? I'm just trying to imagine an offensive line trying to handle the two of them lined up.
You would put one of them on one side and then one on the other. You would try to balance that out, because then they would be meeting at the quarterback on a daily basis.
Well, if you had it, I mean, think about this. Whoever I guess you could in theory send help to both, but you probably only could double one. I mean that's one on ones or free rushing lanes for Nolan or whoever.
That's
else.
What I was about to say. Whomever is on the other side gonna eat, like that's a given, because those guys are gonna eat, but that other guy is gonna benefit tremendously from him being here. That other Ian gonna eat. He gonna eat all day.
Yeah, I mean, Nolan Smith would probably be the biggest beneficiary, because he would face the worst lineman the
other
team has.
You probably have to go two tights. You probably have to see that 12 personnel.
And that changes the other team's offense.
Yeah, because they only send it out. You can't send a whole lot of people out in the routes, because you need people to block.
Well, this is why the whole thing is enticing. And if he was a free agent and the Eagles had tons of cap space, which they could find cap space, it would be like an easy turnkey thing, almost like when Kevin Durant went to the Warriors, like, hey, we're great anyway, but we add this. The whole thing is more about the value and the compensation than would it work. It would work.
So the Nolan Smith thing with Jalen Carter reminds me of, and Hugh's going to be bothered by it because I'm going to do it again.
Uh-oh.
Miles Sanders behind the Eagles offensive line, DeAndre Swift behind the Eagles offensive line. Well, how good is Saquon going to be? Because, you know, we can have a 1,000-yard rusher regardless behind this offensive line. You can, like, double that because they're that good of a player. So while Nolan Smith is going to eat because Jalen Carter's there, now imagine what Myles Garrett will do.
I don't disagree. The point is, one was a free agent, and one you have to trade multiple first-round picks for.
That's why we tell you not to use that. But it's okay. You can use it.
Well, but so like, but I think I think you're missing the part of the point that I'm trying to get at. It's that we say, yeah, we can get by with having it not as good, but to diminish how good it can really be, how impactful it really is. That's the Saquon comp. I'm not talking about free agency and what he's worth. I know that Myles Garrett's going to cost a lot more. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about.
No, but my thing is, and I think you're missing, is that I look at it bang for buck. And yes, will Myles Garrett make our defense that tremendously better? Yes, he will. But we were just the number one defense, and we just won the Super Bowl.
You know what? I'm going to say this right now. We're not going to be the number one defense again next year.
Why not?
Because we're not. We're going to lose. We're going to lose too many players.
You mean you're going to lose a guy who you made take a pay cut before the season started
and sweat,
and you're going to lose a guy.
We're probably going to lose three defensive linemen, guys.
We just said. Is being getting paid because of Jalen Carter.
N'Kobe Dean's going to be out to start the season. We're going to lose three linemen.
I was talking about Miles.
We might not be as healthy in general next year.
Talking about Milt.
I'm just saying we could be top five and it'll be great. It'll be good enough to win a championship. We're not going to be as good as we were this year.
So
I'm just preparing everybody for that.
I'll add to what you just said.
Doom and gloom.
And Myles Garrett certainly could change the equation a little bit. But to go back to how we started today, if they lose Zach Bond, I agree with Kyle. They will not be the number one defense next year. And in fact, I think it will severely hurt their chances to win the Super Bowl next year.
How much are you willing to put on it?
That without Bond, they won't be number one?
Yes.
I mean, $2?
You're speaking my language.
$2.
Right. I will shave the mustache if we're the number one defense again by the end of next year.
That's probably for you worth more than my $2 for me.
You shave your mustache, boy, you're going to look real funny.
I worked with you for like 2 years without a mustache.
And he thought
what are you trying
funny?
To say?
Hey.
And he thought you looked funny the whole time.
Hey, I did walk into that. I did not. I'm so used to wearing a mustache now.
You it ain't just, nothing without that mustache.
I'm just saying. No, you do. Yeah.
Reminds me of when I was with my girlfriend for like a year and a half. And just one day after that, she's like, your haircut looks really good. I was like, I've gotten a lot of haircuts. Before this, like this is the only one you've ever commented on.
It's a nice way of saying the other ones look bad. Yeah. 215-592-9494. All right, Zach Bond, could the Eagles survive as a Super Bowl contending defense without him? I say no. Hugh says yes. In fact, there's no way to me they're number one defense next year. We're betting $2 on it. Without Zach Bond, they need him back. Your take on the whole ears face thing that Hugh brought up, because he thinks his ears are part of his face. I don't understand all that. And if you want to weigh in on the shrimp for breakfast situation that we dealt with this morning as a midday show, you're welcome to on that.
We're still picking up the pieces, the fallout from that.
Pick up the pieces.
Because now I was just talking to our engineer out there, Dave Scalish. He wants to put a note on the microwave tomorrow about fish.
Dave got attitude now.
I was half kidding about the HR situation.
It's a disaster.
Well, we get emails all the time about please don't wear too much cologne, please don't wear too much perfume, and I understand that people have allergies. Please don't heat up too much shrimp. I mean, like that's, I don't think I'm asking too much. Sean in Williamstown, what's up, Sean?
Hey, so first off, on Zach Bond, I know they found Zach Bond, you drafted N'Kobe Dean, and they have missed on some linebackers. I just think he's too good not to bring back. I think you give him a blank check, let him write his own number down.
See, now we're talking. Blank check for Zach Bond. Now, Sean, I do wonder what their walk-away point is or how much they're willing to go. The top linebacker makes $20 million right now. The top five make like between 15 and 20. But, Sean, I think he was good enough this year that he can absolutely ask for $15, $17 million a year, and I think they should be willing to pay it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to also want to come back. I mean, Vic Fangio is the one that kind of found him and Howie Roseman. He might be willing to take a little bit of a pay cut. And I know the cap goes up every year. So I think you have to bring him back. I think he's such a key piece to this defense and how it works.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought he let them do a lot of different things. He could get off the edge as a blitzer. He could play the run as a linebacker, the interceptions. He was everywhere. All right, Sean, I understand you might have some inside info on the Myles Garrett situation.
I mean, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. My cousin's mother is a realtor, and she's in a big realtor circle in New Jersey. She has done some deals with NFL players in the past. She got a message that there is a big Browns player looking to get a house in Swedesboro, has the deal in the process. And when my cousin asked her, is it Myles Garrett, she said, yes, I believe so.
94 WIP, breaking news.
We're breaking news here, Hugh. Looking for homes
in Swedesboro. Welcome to Philadelphia, Myles Garrett.
I mean, my first apartment was in Swedesboro. It's a nice little town. I don't think I lived in the same part of Swedesboro. I was in a tiny little apartment. But that's Sean, I like to hear that. All right, so we got the cousin's mother, the realtor, Swedesboro, Myles Garrett. Hugh, what do you think?
I mean, do you really want to know what I think? Do you really want to know?
Of course we do.
Yeah, that's why we asked.
I think he talks too much. I mean, that's a lot of stuff to be given out over the radio when maybe he wanted to be, you know, anonymous and not let anybody know.
But he's but insider of the year is on the line.
That's ridiculous.
Nah, I can't care.
No, I mean, I hear you and I know where we work, but that, I mean, that's kind of ridiculous to be telling somebody's business about where they're moving and stuff.
Would you have been better if he just said South Jersey instead of the town?
Well, if he would have, like, he gave the town, gave the realtor. Yeah, you just putting somebody on blast. Well, you just called into the radio station putting somebody on blast.
Well, we do see those kind of things. Like, you know,
I mean,
I'm not saying it's right necessarily, but it's 2025. This information goes out there all the time.
I know it does. And if I'm being honest, since you asked me my honest opinion, if that was my realtor, mm-hmm. I'm firing her for running her mouth because she talked too much.
Now, guys, there are only right now, at least on Realtor.com.
I'm dead ass serious. She's fired.
There's only 43 homes currently available in Swedesboro. I'm going to try to figure out. I'm not going to put this on the air, but I'm going to try to figure out which home Myles Garrett is trying to buy.
Go
here.
For it. I mean, listen, do what you do. You asked me as you know.
I know you gave your thought.
Yeah. She would be fine.
But I think you're focusing on one area. The other area to focus on is maybe Myles Garrett's coming.
No, maybe he is. And if he does, congratulations. I'm happy for you, but she's fired.
Firing the realtor.
Yeah, she fired. She talked too much.
But do you believe what Sean said?
I, you know what? Who knows? But she's fired. If it's true, she's fired.
It reminds me a little bit of when I was doing evenings. It was around the time there was rumors LeBron was going to come to the Sixers, and he was using the All-Star break to tour the schools.
And then, what's his name? His wife's girlfriend? I would slap you across your lips as soon as I saw you for talking too much.
Whoa.
No, seriously. I would. I would slap you across your face and be like, damn it, man. You run your mouth too much. I done told you something, and you done ran your ass to the radio station and told everybody. Slap you right across your lips. Pow!
Personally, I appreciate it.
No, I know you do. I do too. Yeah. But the former athlete in me, that when you hear that, I'm like, damn, you talk too much.
There's two headlines here. Hugh's upset. But also, Myles Garrett might be buying a home in South Jersey.
What if somebody had broken that Hugh had bought a place in Jacksonville?
Listen, I'm not that friendly. You know what's funny? Because yesterday when I had to go get some stuff done, and somebody said, do people bother you living here? I said, no, because I'm not that friendly. Like, and that's the truth.
You haven't met all the neighbors and had a housewarming cookies?
I've spoken.
I said hi.
And I've seen a few of them. And I'm like, hey, how you? I'm nice. But no, don't be bothering me now. Don't bother me.
So I think this show is the reason why they're not knocking on that door.
I'm off the clock. When I'm off the clock, don't be bothering me.
They've heard you there. All right. It does remind me of the LeBron thing, though, because we had people call in saying where they saw LeBron. The Malvern Wawa was my favorite one.
Well, he's unmistakable. LeBron.
Well, yeah,
you're not going to miss LeBron. You're probably not going to miss Myles Garrett either, but LeBron is like.
Myles Garrett's a grown ass.
He is, but. They're so rare in real life to see 6'9 people. Like, they're just like, you don't see them in Wawa.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Myles Garrett's a very big human being. You probably don't see people look like him much either, but it's more likely to see a huge football player kind of person than LeBron. I mean, NBA players just, they don't look like regular people. They're 6'9, 6'10. They make football players look like tiny people.
You're not going to find a guy that happens to look like LeBron James.
That might have been LeBron. No, it might have been. Either it was or it wasn't. 215-592-9494. All right, let's hear this from Adam Schefter. Because, you know, yesterday when we had the whole debate about Myles Garrett, and we'll be willing to give up what it takes, the two ones. You know, part of it was the value, like how valuable are those picks? Adam Schefter here talking about the depth in this particular draft as the combine goes on in Indianapolis. What do the Eagles have with the 32nd pick? Here's Schefter on the depth of this year's class.
What are they saying about this draft class? What is the conversation about this draft?
A few things. I think that the strength of this draft, according to the people who have really dug
into it. Insiders, yes, all the people you've talked to. Yeah, yeah.
Personnel people. Middle rounds. 3, 4, 5. A lot of good depth and talent there. And I think the feeling is that the player you get at number 10 in this draft is similar to the player that you get at 35.
So, all right, Hugh, how do you take that from Schefter as it pertains to the Eagles? So he thinks that the way it's being framed to him, the depth in this draft, the player you get at 10, similar to the player you get at 35. So
I feel like that they feel that you're going to get a number one caliber talent within those first 35 picks. So that means even in the top of the second round, there's going to be a guy that probably has a first round grade. That's kind of how I look at it. Because it's funny, Joe, because the one thing that has been a truism in the NFL, in the draft is in particular, every year, is that there's always somebody that either skyrockets up the draft board or falls on the draft board. Every year, there's always somebody that gets drafted that nobody predicted to be a first-round draft pick. And teams move around, and some teams get desperate. It just all depends, because you might have in your mind where a player might be slotted,
mm-hmm.
but somebody might get a little antsy, and they might feel like whom they're trying to get might not be there, and they'll jump. They'll jump up to try to get them. So every year it's like that. So, yeah, that's what I get from it, that you're going to get a first-round talent with those first 35 picks.
Yeah, my thought on it is actually I feel like it makes the Eagles pick more valuable. You know, this is the kind of draft where the gap between 10 and 35, as Schefter put it, is not that big. Like, that makes me – in some drafts, there's, like, a big drop-off. After the first 15 or 20 picks, they become almost like, who's what you're going to get? This year, it sounds to me like there's maybe a handful of stars, and then there's a lot of just pretty good or good. And that tells me, like, that pick at 32 is valuable because it's not that much different than in this draft, maybe 12 or 15.
So maybe I've just talked myself into this.
You have a different spin?
Well, I view it honestly the complete opposite. First of all, he said rounds 3 to 5, a lot of great talent, a lot of great depth there. That's awesome. I mean, that to me speaks to exactly what I was saying yesterday, and that we don't necessarily need a first-round pick in order to build depth and talent on this roster. But I viewed the 10 and 35 thing kind of the opposite. Like, if the player you're getting at 35 is as good as 10, that could also mean after the first 9 players,
they're not that good.
There is that drop off, and they're not as great. Hmm. And then they all sort of fall into the range after that. Like, it's another tier below after that 10.
Well, I sure would rather have, the way it's framed there, I'd rather have 32 than 10 then, right? Because then 10, you sucked, and you might get the same player as the team that won the Super Bowl.
It feels like that to me says that it's better to have more picks in the middle rounds than it is one of the 10 through 35.
So this basically makes you more willing to give it up for Garrett.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of this is in the eye of how you want to hear
it. Spin Dr. Quinn over here.
That is Spin Dr.
I respect that. It's Thursday.
That's actually a pretty good spin. All right, let's go to Silver in Germantown, who is questioning if you saw that interception in the Super Bowl. What's up, Silver? Silver?
The moment's too big for him.
Oh, no. He had a good
moment's
take.
Too big
disaster,
for him.
Silver.
Oh, Silver.
The moment was too
Silver!
Big for him.
All right, put you back on hold. I mean, Silver's point was, did you see that interception
no,
in the
I
Super
saw
Bowl?
It.
And it was great.
And I don't think Silver is understanding what I'm saying, but it's cool.
Mm-hmm. I think he is.
What do you mean? I try to sit here and explain to you people all the time what I'm trying to say. Y'all don't get it.
But don't you understand? You could be as clear and concise as you
and
want.
And you don't care?
I don't. Because I have an opinion.
I'm used to it now. I'm just used to it. It's just, you know, hey, whatever.
We've beat Hugh down to the point where he realizes he's not changing anyone's mind.
Nobody.
Well, there is something about, I feel like at the end of every meeting when we leave to come in here, what each of us have in our mind, we're going to convince people that we got the right take.
Yes.
And then 2 hours in, like, oh, throw the towel in. I'll keep saying it.
Every day.
No one that is against me is going to change. I'm going to change anyone's
yesterday,
mind.
Yesterday, y'all wore me out. That was the first time.
In a while.
That I was like, you know what? I need a gummy.
You guys win. You want to give the farm for Garrett? Go do it.
Hey, but the messed up part about it, right, is this. It kicked in right when I pulled up into the driveway.
Yeah.
It kicked in, and I was like, damn. I need to go to the store because I want to get some popcorn. I was like, nah, we about to go to the store. We about to take our heads right now.
We're going to lay down.
Yeah, we're going, hey, nothing good going to happen from this gummy kicking in the way that it did on this ride home. Let's go. Let me go ahead and just go home.
Let's go take a nap. Jules is in Louisiana. Hey, Jules.
Hey, so I have a little commentary on your rule about no seafood
for breakfast
or in the morning.
Yeah, okay.
And can I say something in French? Au contraire, mon frère, because you can have shrimp and grits in the morning. And
so I understand that. And I when I saw where you were calling from, I thought maybe that's where you're going with it. But what's your policy on heating up shrimp in the office in a room that you share with many other people?
It's probably a no-no.
Okay.
Probably a no-no.
I'm glad we found some common ground.
Nobody's going to be down with that.
But your rule that you can't have fish would still not cover.
Well, yeah,
shrimp,
all right.
You know?
Yeah,
I still wouldn't do it. Yeah, I mean, the shrimp and grits is awesome, but that's not, I'm not, and this could be me being a Northeast guy. I'm not thinking about shrimp and grits for breakfast when I wake up.
So I just got back from New Orleans. I'm up in Philly now. I do want to tell you, New Orleans bartenders, enamored by the Philly fans. They said the Eagles fans tip way better than the Chiefs.
You know, part of that, Jules, I noticed while we were down there, I think maybe people just wanted to tip and be generous, but the drinks down there were way cheaper than the drinks here.
Yeah, everybody's like, for real?
It took me like a couple rounds in to be like, wait a second, I can like have double what I usually have. This is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Years ago, I moved from Louisiana and I was living up in New York, and I remember I went out and got a couple martinis. And I handed I got three martinis. I handed the bartender a $20 bill, and I was thinking there was going to be change coming back. And the guy just started laughing at me.
Yeah, give me a few more $20s.
You kind of shout on this. Yeah.
Booze is cheap down there. Booze and gasoline, very cheap.
Yeah, and it was appreciated by everyone from here. All right, what are you thinking about Zach Bond?
Got to keep him. And Hugh, maybe you know this. If you're signing with a team that helped you resurrect your career, what does that get you? A 5% discount?
Jules, I don't know. I don't know where Zach Bond's mind is. That's the thing that we're wearing it against. See, I think a lot of people feel like because you gave him an opportunity and, you know, you got the medallion that Bill Berge's family gave him, that might carry some weight. It might not. I would think that it would because that was a meaningful gesture. But at the end of the day, look at it like this, Jules. If you had a shot in the twilight of your career to go out and make a stupid amount of money or stay somewhere to your point that resurrected your career, probably not get as much money, would you do that? And I can't answer that question. I really can't.
I mean, you're going to get stupid or mildly stupid money, right? Either way.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And I'm going to tell you, to be totally honest, Jules, I've never subscribed to that old adage that some people like to throw out there, how much money you need. I need all the money. I need all the money that God is willing to put me in position to get. I need all that.
And I get that. Jules, good phone call. And I won't begrudge Zach Bond if he takes the highest dollar. He might in 13 days. But if that happens, I think the Eagles defense is going to take a big step back. 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls on all of this next. Is re-signing Zach Bond imperative next season? I believe it is. Hugh doesn't feel that way. Are your ears a part of your face? Apparently they are. And shrimp for breakfast has become a contention point here in the WIP studios. I'm out on that idea, especially when you're heating it up. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.